nothing left. Beware the city slicker. I know he's a real cool trickster. Yeah, country girl, you better beware. The slicker's out there. You know what? Every nickel, you don't believe that. He's super clean. You know what? Man is on the scene. Young girl, you better watch out. I'm trying to say, Sinner Slicker, he's so mean. Sinner Slicker.
That is Band of Thieves here on KAXE, a Minnesota funk and soul band that you might not know. It's our pick of 76 this week, Cautionary Tale of the City Slicker, and one of the albums I talked about in my Fresh Picks write-up. You can find it at KAXE.org. And they're definitely drawing on soul music of the 70s by the time that one rolled around in 76. And I get lots of Curtis Mayfield kind of Pusher Man, that album style soul music from City Slicker. Find the full Fresh Picks on our website, looking at music from 50 years ago for our birthday, and of course, brand new stuff as well. It's 1 minute after 10 o'clock. I'm your host, Malachi Coons. This is Headwaters here on 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji at 89.9 in Brainerd, and on your smart speaker, celebrating 50 years of people-powered radio. Join us at KAXE.org. In hour two of Headwaters, you will hear an interview with Paisley Fields coming up at 10:15. Stay tuned for that. Right now, checking in around the area, not as cool as yesterday, but looking like another beautiful, not too heavy heat. Too much heavy heat today, 68 in Grand Rapids, up to 71 in Brainerd, and otherwise pretty much across the board, hanging out in the upper 60s. We do have sunny skies around the region. Our highs are mid to upper 70s today, partly cloudy overnight. Once again, low is getting down into the 50s this evening. Tomorrow, highs in the low 80s, and there's a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms for Thursday evening right now. And then Friday again, sunny, highs in the upper 70s. Stay tuned for that interview at 10:15. We will also be hearing from a older Lavender Country tune towards the end of the hour, which is a group you'll learn about with the Paisley Fields conversation. Right now, though, I do want to do a little Blaze Foley set, as I believe it's this Friday, this new Blaze Foley tribute album is on the way. It's called Sittin' with Blaze, a tribute to Blaze Foley. This is the man, if you don't know, that Lucinda Williams' Drunken Angel is about. He is kind of one of those, gets lumped in with Townes Van Zandt and maybe Guy Clark at times, but very different. There's more humor in his works. And he also wrote Clay Pigeons, if you know that tune. Not a John Prine tune. It was a Blaze Foley cover. So there's going to be a new album coming out called Sittin' with Blaze. We're going to have artists like Lucy Dacus, John R. Miller, Lucinda Williams, once again, doing a different tune, John Moreland. Lots of good fits for his tunes. That'll be out Friday. So far, there's one single out from it by Uncle Lucius. We're going to hear that now, and then some other Blaze Foley-related music on KAXE.
Be alright. but I don't care. He's a businessman. He got business ties. He got dollar signs in both his eyes. Got a big jet plane. Take him everywhere. Got a limousine when he gets there. Everywhere he goes, makes the people mad. Makes the poor man beg and the rich man glad. 'Cause he's the president.
Start playing again. I'd like to stay, but I might have to go to start over again. Might go back down to Texas, I might go to somewhere I've never been. Then get up in the morning, go out at night, and I won't have to go home. Get used to being alone, change the words to the song, start singing again. Castle of memories just to have somewhere to go. Count the days and the nights that it takes to get back in the saddle again. Feed the pigeons some clay. Turn the night into day. Start talking again when I know what to say. I'm going down to the Greyhound station. Gonna get a ticket to ride. Gonna find that lady with two or three kids and sit down by her side. Ride till the sun comes up and down around me about two or three times. Smoking cigarettes in the last seat. Try to hide my sorrow from the people I meet and get along with it all. Go down where people say, oh, feed the pigeons some clay. Turn the night into day. Start talking again when I know what to say.
Live at the Outhouse in Austin, Texas, Blaze Foley here on KAXE, and his song made more famous by John Prine. A year later after that was recorded, or in the next year, I should say, Foley was shot and killed in Austin, Texas, and as some Austin songwriters have kind of become mythical in that world, and if you listen to songs like Clay Pigeons, makes a lot of sense. Definitely one that sticks in your mind. And sort of remember the first time you heard it kind of tune. Margot Price doing her version of Oval Room. That's another Blaze Foley song from back in the day. And that one's on Margot Price's new album, Days of Unrest. Kind of tying in with this new Blaze Foley tribute album, but on its own, unrelated. Something that is going to be out on that album this Friday was Uncle Lucius doing Election Day. Primary elections yesterday in some other states. Minnesota's is coming up on the 11th of August, and our news team has put together a wonderful primary election guide for you. Find it at KAXE.org, and you can learn more about candidates running to represent you from the top big ones, you know, Senate, all the way down to people representing right in your area. You can easily search by your region to find what races are going to be on your ballot and get responses from the candidates as well. Please help us by sharing election info with your friends and neighbors. You can get printed versions, or there are printable versions on the website as well, and can also pick some up at our offices. You are listening to Headwaters here on People Powered KAXE. We also receive support from the First State Bank of Big Fork, with branches in Big Fork and Kellyer, offering tools for managing money on any mobile device, hometown banking at its best since 1912. FSBBigFork.com, member FDIC. Coming up very shortly, you will hear an interview that I did with country artist Paisley Fields. At 11 o'clock, the World Cafe, and then your On the River host today going to be Gina the Knife from 1 to 4, and DJ DeMurph tonight from 7 to 10. We do have another training on the way for anyone who is interested in becoming a volunteer DJ. That'll be Monday, August 24th email volunteer@kaxc.org with any questions or to confirm your attendance. And the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources is hosting a public meeting today from 5 to 9 at McGregor High School. It is an opportunity to learn more about the proposed Tamarack Mine, ask questions, and provide comments directly to state officials. It's also county fair season, and there are a lot around the area. Check for your local region. Here are just a few. Crow Wing County Fair going on now in Brainerd. Clearwater County Fair going on now in Bagley. St. Louis County Fair now in Chisholm. And the Cochise County Fair starting a couple of days in North Home. Paisley Fields is a country musician based in Brooklyn and Nashville. Grew up in Iowa listening to country music, but really didn't connect until later, I saw. Now you are just put out your fourth album, Are You Mad at Me? A lot of cool stuff has happened along that, like playing with Lavender Country, a band that I love, putting out some wonderful albums. We talked a little bit off air. I've seen you before in Duluth, which was that your last time in northern Minnesota?
That was, yeah. This is my first time back since that show.
Yeah, I always say thank you for folks to coming on this interview, but you've driven all the way from the Twin Cities just to do this, so I want to say a special thank you. And I thought I'd start with kind of a really easy question. 3 hours in the car, what are you listening to in the car right now?
What are we listening to? We listen to some Leon Russell. I've been like pretty into him lately, and then just kind of like random mixes, a little Kate Bush. We've been listening to trying to hear, like, there's been a bunch of new albums that came out recently that I've been enjoying, the new Madonna, new Tori Amos, Casey Musgraves.
My partner is currently listening to the band Splain, like, mega special on Madonna. It's like 4 parts, 4 hours.
Okay.
And so nice. I've been getting a little side dose of that, but I haven't yet caught the new album. Any favorites out of those?
I was pretty impressed with all of them, actually. I didn't really have high expectations for anything, no shade, but like they all exceeded my expectations. I thought they were really good.
Yes. You went to Duluth. I saw you play in Duluth last time you were here. But yeah, how was the drive up? What were your thoughts on northern Minnesota scenery?
I love it. I love it up here. We just walked over. We went to see the Mississippi.
Yeah, right out our window.
The mighty Mississippi, a little narrower up here.
Truly.
Saw some fish. Yeah, so it's so pretty. I love it up here. I used to come up here when I was a kid because I grew up in Iowa, and so we'd go like fishing and go on little camping trips and stuff with my family. So it feels very like, feels like home in some ways.
Yeah, I wanted to kind of start out with that. Although I've seen online that when you were living in Iowa, country music, it was all around you, but it wasn't necessarily a love at that time. What kinds of things were you listening to that at then? And then what clicked later on, or why did you come back to country music?
I always gravitated towards more of the fringe music. I liked more punk or like alternative, it was called at the time. And, you know, anything that kind of wasn't as mainstream was really what I connected with more a little naturally, I guess. And I ended up moving to New York and then moved to Japan for a year and was in this very rural place in Japan. And just for whatever reason, I kind of came back to my love of country music then, because when I was growing up, when I was a kid, I really liked that music. I went line dancing and it was kind of the thing that was around. But being in Japan is weirdly enough what brought me back to country music. And then when I moved back to New York, I started playing it more regularly and, you know, formed a band, and now I'm here.
Yeah, I have to ask, what were you doing in rural Japan?
I was studying taiko drumming, and then I formed a duo out there called Sora Ocean. And it was with this artist, Kazunari Abe, who plays a shinobue, a bamboo flute, Japanese bamboo flute. And we ended up touring the country and recorded there and became like a little well-known in that one like little area of Japan.
That's so cool. I did not know that at all. And taiko drumming, if people don't know, is incredible.
It was a really incredible experience. It's almost like a sport and music combined. It was pretty magical being able to study that out there.
Yeah. Was it really that like connection to home that you were seeking, or was it, I don't know, were you able to find that there were fringe country artists as well? Like you're saying, connecting with fringe more alternative rock. What was it about it that like brought it back to country music?
It was kind of a combination, seeing that there is this real outlaw sensibility in country music, and there is a lot of really interesting stuff being made that's more on the fringe than what's happening in mainstream pop country music. But being in Japan, I also saw like, we're not really that different, you know, like obviously their culture and their society is very different from ours, but as people, I just felt a real strong connection with everybody I met there. And I felt almost like this isn't that dissimilar to the way that I grew up in some ways, you know, in many ways it was very different, but for some reason, I just felt like this strong connection to them and also to myself when I was there.
One of those more, a little bit of a fringe country character who has the aura around them has grown a lot. And someone who here at KEXC, Graham Parsons, been played since the radio station started in the late 70s, for sure. He's like one of the kings of community radio and the type of music we play. You got to write a song at the Graham Parsons Room, which I didn't know that this existed until reading up. So tell people, what is the Graham Parsons Room? And did you know you wanted to write a song when you were there? Was that the goal?
No. Well, yes and no. So it kind of just happened out of the blue. I've been a big Graham Parsons fan for a long time, and I was on tour, and one of our bandmates, Mikey Erg, was like, the Graham Parsons Room is available the night we're going to be in Joshua Tree. Like, we have to stay there. And I'm like, okay. Because I knew, like, all the lore. It's the room where he died, and they say his ghost is still there and all that. And Jesse French was also the other artist who was on tour. And I was like, why don't we just, you know, try writing a song in the room? And we ended up writing Straight Panic Defense in the Graham Parsons Room late at night. And I'm very convinced that his ghost helped write a couple of lines, at least.
Yeah, that is the first song that we received here at the radio station. I couldn't ask this question without saying that I do wear socks and sandals sometimes. I cracked up at that moment, and it made me... We're going to hear a little bit of the song in a second, but it's a question that I really find fascinating for artists where there's a lot of humor in their music.
Yeah.
But if you have a point, you want to get it across, or you want to be able to deal with tough, difficult issues like some of the realities facing queer people in America today. So I always ask people where there is a lot of humor in their songs, how do you balance that of leaving that joy and that humor in, but broaching difficult subjects?
I think it can be a good entry point to help change people's mind if you want to, or also just, you know, I think humor can help people feel a little lighter when approaching heavier topics, and maybe makes them feel a little more empowered to talk about it, or maybe it just makes it a little easier, because a lot of the songs I write, I will kind of tackle more heavy things, but in almost a more humorous way. And it's not really to make light of it, but it's more to just make it seem like something more approachable. And also like for myself to deal with it in a way that's like, somebody's probably going to laugh at me about this. And like, I can be the one laughing first, you know, like sort of being on the joke a little more.
Yeah, it was, again, I did crack up when I heard that line. Let's take a listen here to that one from the new album, Straight Panic Defense. That was Paisley Fields, Straight Panic Defense, and a song from the new album, their fourth, called Are You Mad at Me, just released this May. Now, switching to the title, my first thoughts there is, I guess, just something maybe a couple might say to each other or that kind of thing. But I didn't necessarily think that that was how you chose it as the title of the album, yeah, or like unifying theme. So, yeah, why that phrase for this collection of songs?
I think it is kind of funny in a way, but it's also, it is a serious question sometimes. And, you know, when I was mentioning it to everybody, people would laugh and they're like, you can't call your album that. And I was like, well, I'm definitely going to call it that now. You're telling me I can't. And I just think it has, I like things that have multiple meanings, and it's sort of, it is this personal thing of being like, yeah, a couple, like, are you mad at me? But also it's sort of like, are you mad, society? Are you mad at me? You know, like, it's kind of this bigger view of the world, because I feel like we're a little too divided, and that's somewhat what it's about. But I think it can mean a different thing to everybody, you know?
Yeah, I like the little distorted. I wasn't really looking at the songs go by as I was listening to the album. And so there's a few times where, like with 1984 and the, there's intros to songs almost.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, so I hadn't quite factored it all in. I kind of thought that the next song that followed that was that, but I like how you just put the distorted version, yeah, of the album or of the title in there. Taking it back a few years before that, earlier in your career, what was it like to be asked to join Lavender Country? So if people don't know, Patrick Haggerty's kind of legendary country band, released the first gay country album in 1973, which is crazy. I first heard someone do I Can't Shake the Stranger Out of You and was like, this is the best song I've ever heard. So yeah, as a young songwriter, can you tell me about being asked and what was that like to like as an affirmation?
I mean, it changed my life. It was really incredible to be able to work so closely with Patrick and become his friend and, you know, learn about his artistry and his vision and his politics and just see how it was like his vision was very community based, and that was really influential to me. And just also, he was unafraid to say what was on his mind, like at all times, and just very bold. And that was something that really affected me and had a really big impact on me as an artist and in my career. And it was just like really an honor to be a part of that group. I hate, like, people always say it was an honor, but like, yeah, it actually was. And it really meant a lot to be able to work with him. And yeah, it was a really special time.
You know? Did he hear some of your early music, or did you run into each other? How did that happen?
He knew who I was when I met him. I was playing a show in Louisville, Kentucky, and they were playing the Nashville Pride the next day, like another event for Pride. And I wanted to go see them. So I was like, we have to go down to Nashville. I want to meet Patrick. I want to see Lavender Country. And ended up meeting him, and he knew who I was, said hi. And we just kind of stayed in touch after that. And I said, you know, if you ever need a keyboard player, hit me up. And he did. Shortly after that, we played together in New York and ended up touring together, and he was on one of my albums. And then I played on Blackberry Rose, their last release. So we really got to get a good amount of collaboration in, which was really special.
Yeah, I remember finding out about that and just kind of being blown that album, the original one, and then they had come back around. You know, obviously, if you're aware of some queer icons, you lean towards famous disco ones or whatever. But that, yeah, was like, I couldn't believe that existed.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really cool to have that resurgence after. And he thought, you know, when he got that call from the record label, he was like, this is a prank. He didn't believe it.
Yeah. One of the record label that you're on, a few other Minnesota artists that we love are also on Don Giovanni Records.
Yeah.
And they have just nothing but good things to say about it. And it's sometimes not a surprise, but some artists who are, I would say, very like very firmly in our scene. Yeah, Don Giovanni will take a shot on them and do some cool stuff. Yeah, what do you like about Don Giovanni?
I love working with them. I love the punk ethos and that they're really about the music. And I just feel very supported being on that label. And there's just so many great artists there. And it's cool that I'm able to collaborate with a lot of the artists on the label. And we'll play shows together at South by Southwest. And then we did the anniversary show in Philly a couple years ago. So just, I just love the artists and I love the label and the team there. And it's
yeah. I remember I had requested to get a download for the radio station of Something Undone, Giovanni. And then I think it was the label head just emailed me back in like 10 seconds. Like there wasn't another person. He was like, oh yeah, here you go, right away. So, which I think shows the approach. But yeah, there's some like David Huckfeld and Bad Bad Hats, who are some Minnesota artists.
Both. I've played with both of them at different South by showcases.
Yeah, cool. I mentioned 1984 a little bit. That's another song that kind of sent me down a rabbit hole. I born in 1995, so didn't live through this particular era, and I had never heard of Bobby Campbell. Bobby Campbell. There we go. So I've been reading about him this morning, and yeah, it's one of my favorite songs on the album is 1984. And so maybe people who were living through that are aware of him, but I just thought it was a really cool spotlight that I was able to learn something. Yeah, what about his story tied into that picture that you were painting on 1984?
So I learned about Bobby Campbell through Lavender Country, because Patrick would often tell a story about how he was good friends with Bobby Campbell, and I thought it was important to kind of share that history and hopefully continue educating people about him and that time period, because I think a lot of it gets lost because a lot of those that generation died, you know, from AIDS. So I think it's kind of our duty as the younger generation and younger generations coming up to share that history and continue telling people about it.
Yeah, there was a specific instance that I saw where he went on Dan Rather toward the end of his life, and they put him in glass. Yeah.
Wow. I got to watch that. I haven't seen that video.
So because the people setting up the microphones didn't want to be close to him. And again, I guess if people, it takes hearing something like that, even when you've heard stories, to just realize how the fear and how terrible that was.
Yeah.
That's in the song 1984. Let's take a listen to a little bit of that from Paisley Fields here on KAXE.
It's been a couple of weeks. The crowd's here getting thinner, and this whole thing is getting bleak.
'84 there. Another one from Are You Mad at Me, the latest album from Paisley Fields. We are speaking to now here on KAXC. You split your time between Brooklyn and Nashville. Is one like a place where you record and the other Brooklyn is a home? Or
yeah, so I was splitting my time between Nashville and Brooklyn for a while, like up until a few years ago, and then now I'm just in Brooklyn. But I'll go back to Nashville quite a bit for work, and I record there and have a bunch of good friends down there. But yeah, I'm a Brooklyn girl now.
Nice, yeah. I guess from afar, I've spent a fair amount of time in Brooklyn, but not too much in Nashville. I would just assume, and correct me if I'm wrong, that Brooklyn would feel like maybe a safer space or more opportunities, more queer people.
Yeah, definitely.
What is it like as a queer country artist in Nashville?
Nashville feels very much like it's just very industry. So you sort of feel like you're always on, and everybody you meet is like in the business, and it feels a little phony in some ways, I think, parts of it. Not all the time, but it just feels sort of like LA is Hollywood and Nashville is country music.
Yeah.
And the thing I love about New York is the diversity, and you meet so many different types of people, and it's just, you can't even compare the two really, you know?
You got to do a residency at Lucinda's
I'm still doing it.
Yeah, okay,
still
yeah.
Doing it.
So yeah, we have a lot of Lucinda fans here next Thursday. Great. Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I haven't been to her bar yet, but I want to check it out. And that seems
wonderful.
So. Yeah, how did that connection happen? Is she around there or?
So, yeah, she's around. So I was on tour in England, and my friend Kelly Swindle was also on tour in England at the same time, like doing separate things. We were just texting, and she was like, "Hey, I'm gonna be, you know, I'm working on opening this bar with Lucinda Williams called Lucinda's, and you know, we want to do a night that's focused like a queer night." And I was like, "Well, okay, let's do it." So we met up afterwards and kind of came up with a few ideas. And she co-hosts the night usually with me, and it's usually once a month if I'm not on tour. And it's a really fun night. It's called East Village Country Club, and we'll do we'll have a house band, and then Kelly and I will both do our sets, and then we have different contests that are sort of, you know, like state fair type of theme things. Like we have a best Wrangler butt competition.
There we go.
We have a pie eating contest, which is very popular. it's a really fun night. I like how it gets a little rowdy and
yeah. Are you partial to the Iowa State Fair?
I don't know if partial's the word, but I've been to it.
Fair enough. I know for folks going to New York, definitely check that out. It's going to be going on for a while.
Yeah, we do the last Thursday as long as I'm in town. If I'm not there, they usually will have a guest host, or there'll definitely be something every night there. So it's definitely worth checking out. It's a great spot.
It looks like this from what I saw, this tour, little stretch through the Midwest for the album is kind of coming towards its end. Yeah, what are you looking forward to about just being back home? What's the end of tour like?
Let's see. It's gonna be a little chaotic at the end because we have this, and then I have the Lucinda show, and then I fly to England for Brighton Pride, and then I'm back for 2 weeks, which will be nice, and I can just sort of relax for a little bit, and then just more touring after that. So kind of busy throughout the fall and the end of the year. We haven't announced all the October dates and stuff yet, but it'll be nice to relax at home for a little bit of time.
Yeah. There's one more song I wanted to ask about before we wrap up. Another one of my favorites is Pronoun Meltdown. How jarring is it to move from spaces where you don't even have to think about people not getting it to being in places where all of a sudden people, not only do they not get it, but they panic?
I guess it's not really jarring for me because I grew up in a place where people didn't get it.
Yep.
So it's sort of, it's more of like, okay, it's a refreshing moment to be like, okay, I'm with people who understand me and accept me, and that's not what I was really used to. So going back, I'm just sort of like, these people again, you know,
yeah.
It's like, okay, whatever, I can deal with it. But it does feel like feels a lot lighter to be able to just be yourself in a community where people understand who you are, you know?
Yeah. Were those some real instances, the ones that you mentioned in the song, like sitting on the toilet in Gmail, were these times where you like heard of people who had lost their marbles over?
We kind of had fun inventing these scenarios, but you know, they happen all the time. I saw somebody have kind of like a pronoun meltdown in a way where it was almost the opposite of the song where she wanted to be politically correct or whatever. It was just like, he, they, she, her, him, he, they. It just was like, could you know, the meme with the like.
Yeah, the brain going.
Yeah.
Or Joe Biden being like, how many genders are there?
Right.
At least three or whatever.
Yeah. He said. So that's kind of where the idea came from. And then we just sort of came up with these scenarios that are probably happening right now.
Absolutely. This has been Paisley Fields on KAXC. We will play a little bit of that song, Pronoun Meltdown, to take us out. The new album, Are You Mad at Me, is out now. Check it out wherever you get your music. And again, thank you for driving up and stopping by Northern Minnesota, Paisley.
Thanks for having me. I hope to be back again soon.
Gina's on the John with her Gmail app. And a message caught her unawares. It said, I hope this finds you well. Signed, Riley, they, them, theirs.
Uh-oh.
She had a pronoun meltdown in the Applebee's parking lot. Pronoun meltdown. Three little words got her so distraught. Compliance training in the boardroom underway. Biff is scowling in the back.
You just heard a conversation with Paisley Fields. Be able to find more of that at KAXC.org at a later date, and songs from their new album, Are You Mad at Me? This is Headwaters on KAXE. I'm Malachi Coons, hosting this Wednesday. Kari and I switched around days today. She'll be back tomorrow for more 2 hours, another 2 hours of great music, new, all different things, and continuing with some extra specials this week. Our latest Spin That Ish, we'll be looking back at music from throughout the month of July tomorrow, and special guest Jennifer Barr joining Kari and I to chat our favorite new tunes. Check that out. World Cafe is coming up at 11. We receive support from the Armory Arts and Events Center in Park Rapids, a community hub for creative gatherings. Current programming includes gallery exhibitions, hands-on workshops, live music, and a monthly open mic night. More at parkrapidsarmory.org or on Facebook. And from First National Bank Bemidji, helping local families and businesses reach their financial goals, First National Bank Bemidji, better together. Member FDIC. The Bemidji Senior Center welcomes retired RN Ken Smith this Thursday at 10 a.m. Smith will be talking about his book, We Walked Through the Valley, Reflections on a Career as a Hospice Nurse. And the Brainerd Community Theater is holding auditions for Sweeney Todd, the Demon Barber of Fleet Street, tomorrow and Thursday at 6 p.m. both days in the Chalberg Theater on the campus of Central Lakes College in Brainerd. Find a registration link at clcperformingarts.org. We're going to hear from Lavender Country right now. Got to hear Paisley talking about playing with that group who, for many years, were not around. Patrick Haggerty was doing his thing. In 1973, though, he released a classic album, self-titled, called Lavender Country, which is known as the first a country music album, and as its kind of mystique slowly rose, he eventually got the band back together in the late 2010s, and when he put it back together, that was when he recruited Paisley Fields for the band, so that's a little bit of that history, but let's hear something from back in 1973 right now, and Lavender Country's song, I Can't Shake the Stranger Out of You.
All your favorite fantasies have come to an end, and you'll be waking up. talking to the dogs again, whispering in their ears, asking, God, are you near? Asking, God, are you near? In another lifetime, I take you. You were looking at all the eyes that passed. You were looking for God. You still call your mama every Tuesday. Tell about the city you just passed and all your dreams that went astray. Why'd you let it die inside after all that time? You filled my mind with lies. Ooh, honey, I hope you find a pair of tender eyes to guide your damaged soul. Show you, honey, how sweet that soul smells.
That is Ohio Funk Band, the Ohio Players with Black Cat. That one going to their album, Ecstasy. And as someone who does have a black cat, that song really does not actually match the energy of my black cat at all. But they are talking about something different. Baby Rose before that, we heard But Nevermind from the Urinalism album, her latest and a former album of the week, Baby Rose, celebrating a birthday today. Happy birthday to that unique voiced soul singer talent, Zoamba before that, and Lavender Country, rounding out our final set of music here on this Wednesday edition of Headwaters. We'll be back tomorrow with more of this program from 9 to 11, Kari Hedlund hosting then, and you can hear this one right here, re-airing tonight at 10. Coming up next, it is the World Cafe at 11 with special guest Kevin Morby. Sunny skies expected today, highs in the upper 70s. Tonight, partly cloudy. We have overnight lows in the upper 50s, low 60s. Tomorrow, sunny highs getting up into the low 80s. There is a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms. Why say both of them when you can just say one word, do trick? That is going to be tomorrow night and Friday. Sunny skies, highs in the upper 70s for you. Our question of the week is, what are your favorite ways to eat wild berries? We've also had folks texting in today because it is Work Like a Dog Day. Had lots of great photos coming in of dogs doing the hard work, We had an anonymous texter sending in a dog who is kind of like dressing up as an Easter bunny at a party to really bring the mood up, as it did for me when I got to see that photo. And we heard from Eileen, sent in dogs Hazel and Pentu pulling her cross-country skiing, I believe, doing some help skijoring there. And then Corgi, KEXC's famous Bam Bam, doing the important work of digging a much-needed hole in the yard. Keep those coming to 218-326-1234. You're listening to 91.7 KAXC Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXC Bagley Bemidji, at 89.9 in Brainerd. We're also on your smart speaker, and we are celebrating 50 years of people-powered radio in